Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
Here's your Strensky.
High drive to right. It is out of here. Home run number 3 on the year, and the Giants take the lead.
That was Dave Fleming's partner in crime, Dwayne Kuiper, on a call at NBC Sports Bay Area. The Giants won a hard-fought game last night in what was a Coors Field special, 7-6. Yes, with the bomb against Daniel Bard there in the ninth inning. Camilo Duval. Duval shuts it down in the ninth inning. Strikes out one. Alex Wood doesn't get through five, but the Giants win. And look, Yaz hits the game winner. Kurt Casale with two home runs at the catcher spot. And I wonder, Shasky, as the Giants have won 7 of the last 10, or a game and a half behind the Dodgers, I wonder if Kurt Casale is now taking over that job. Is that his job to lose the catcher spot?
I have no idea. It does feel like they're going to do, you know, what they do at pretty much every other position, which is play the matchups. And right now, you know, Bart isn't hitting lefties at all. I think he's under 100 for a batting average this year. He's getting walks. He just strikes out at a ridiculous rate right now. And Casale's on fire.
Wait a minute. He's batting under 100?
Against
lefties.
Yeah.
Wow. So overall,
I think he's .088.
Well, he's 185 overall, but yeah, Against lefties. Let me check out the splits. That's terrible. Wait, a right-handed batter betting that bad against 0-8-3 against lefties.
This is off top of my gosh. Look at that. You like that, huh?
You
your boy's tapped in.
You want to pat on the back?
That's but his strikeout.
Yeah, right? Congratulations. Like, you want to flex like that? Okay, all right, let's see.
It's a hell of a stat, though.
It is.
It is a hell of a stat. I can't believe that against lefties.
I do my splits.
Yeah, no, well, against lefties, though. 1-for-12. He's got 12 at-bats against lefties, 1 hit. 7 strikeouts against lefties.
Well, the strikeout rate is anywhere from 45 to 50% basically of his plate appearances, and it's not good. Like, there's no other way around it. It's not good. And so, you know, he is 25 years old. I think 3 years ago, this would have been devastating for the organization. Today, I feel like it's not the worst thing in the world, and just saying that out loud feels like it's, I don't know, it's just... Yeah. Let's talk to Dave Fleming.
Yeah, let's talk to Flem. And don't forget, listen tomorrow for a chance to win Warrior tickets to see Game 1 tomorrow night versus the Dallas Mavericks. Be sure to be tuned in tomorrow morning at 7:30 for Know the Show. Listen to the show from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And at 8:15, be the first caller to answer a question about what happened earlier on the show. And you will be heading to Chase Center for Game number 1 of these Western Conference Finals. But let's take a timeout from basketball. Talk a little baseball here. The Giants, they went 7-6 last night. Let's talk to our main man, Flem. Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, as he is every single week. Here on 95.7 a game. Flem, a Coors Field special last night. They're off to a good start against the Rockies. We know last season they were 32-6 against the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, feasting on them. But last night, another wild one. But Kurt Casale, the man of the hour, and we're just discussing this catcher spot. It feels like Kurt Casale has a chance to take over the reins full-time at the catcher spot.
Yeah, it was a wild game. I may have to use my golf voice. I'm out here at Southern Hills, so I'm actually on the course, walking with some players. So I'm trying. So if I sound less enthusiastic than usual, I'm not.
Dave, are you walking with Tiger?
I'm walking with Will Zalatoris.
Oh yeah, San Francisco guy.
And when I saw Will a few minutes ago, I just had been wandering around, so I saw him across the way, and I said, I'm going to go chat with Will. And he saw me across the green. He walked over. He goes, man, that wasn't easy last night, was it?
Are you giving him putting tips? Because we know the putter is his not his strong suit.
He's an excellent long putter, but he has, he's got his putting stats. I'll show you inside 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet. Not been a great putter. There's nobody who hits the ball better than me. Nobody. I just watched him tee off on one of the two par fives out here, and it's like, it's Rory. Like, it's just stupid how good he hits it. So I love talking to him. He's a huge Giants fan, and we were just saying that exact same thing that you guys were saying. Like, yeah, when you go to Coors, it's just never, ever easy. And last night was not easy. As far as Casale goes and Bart, I'm a little torn because I do think it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around a guy hitting 175 or whatever Joey's batting average is. He has been an above-average offensive player. When you put the power and the walks together, even though he's got the low batting average, he's been an above-average offensive player. And it's hard to compute. And part of that is because offense is down so much, so you're comparing him to everybody else. But I think Joey's going to keep getting at bats, but Casale really looks good. And, he's been telling us this the whole year, that he's finally healthy. Last year he wasn't healthy because I was embarrassed last year. I could not grip the bat, let alone, muscle up on one. And so, this is the version that the Giants thought they were getting. Kirk's a great defensive catcher. The guys love throwing to him. So, yeah, I think it's a time here for sure. But I think Joey's still going to get his chances. He's too important to this franchise.
So there's a couple of different roster decisions. Obviously, LaStella coming back, and they had somebody that had to go down. Luis Gonzalez ends up being that guy, even though he's batting well over 350 against righties this year. And it's just, I don't know. They make a trade to get rid of Dubon. They get like a guy that they're going to put in AAA who's also a catcher. Is this just making room for, LaStella, and Dubon was the odd man out? Is this because maybe Joey Bart goes back down to AAA? Like, what do you make of some of these roster decisions?
No, the catcher that they acquired for Dubon is not here to take Joey's place. Like, Joey has the priority over that guy. That guy's just purely, the only two catchers on the whole 40-man are Casale and Bart. So they really needed some catching depth. They have catching depth a little farther down the ladder, but they needed some higher-level catching depth. So I think that he provides that. If you get a catastrophic injury or somebody, you got somebody who really scouts as like an excellent defensive catcher. And so I think that's what the kid that they picked up is, and they could feel comfortable using him if they needed to. So that's not what that move was for. The Dubon move is just, it's just unfortunate that it's a good problem to have, but they have too many players. They have too many good players. They don't have enough roster spots. Dubon doesn't have an option. You can't send him down. So they were going to lose him if they tried to send him down. Somebody was going to claim him. And so that's where Luis Gonzalez, he's got that option left. And so they send him down. And it sucks because he's been their best player the last 2 weeks. But every single other player on that roster is in the position where if you try to send them down, you lose them on the position player side. And they don't want to lose guys. So it's too bad. That's just sort of the reality of being a younger player with some flexibility with Gonzalez. We'll all miss Maurice Dubon, but it was him or Estrada, really, for that roster spot. And it's hard to make the case that Tyro Estrada shouldn't be on this team.
Yeah.
If the Giants had traded him, I think people would have been really upset. So that's, it's hard to, this is exactly what you want. You want a roster that's so full, you've got so much talent and depth that these decisions are hard, but the decisions are really hard. And they're not the end of it. The roster crunch is legit. DeSclafani is going to come back in a month, and there's going to be another decision to be made. Matthew Boyd, the guy they signed, is getting healthy. They like him. He's an established big league starter. That'll be a decision to be made. You got Sammy Long down in the minor leagues, who's pitched great this year for the Giants. And it's like, man,
It's fun to have depth, but it's kind of agonizing in a way.
No doubt about that. Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 a game with the Butcher, Joe Shasky, and Bonte Hill. And look, when you talk about this lineup and what's going on with the bats, Brady Crawford struggling over the last week. Eva Longoria just got back. Yaz struggling before that home run last night. But I want to get to Alex Wood because it's like clockwork, Flib. He gets to that fifth inning, or if he faces a lineup for the third time, it just becomes a struggle for him. Mm. What do you attribute that to? Because we've seen this now a few times. We saw it mostly last season. He gets to that fifth inning or faces that lineup the third time. It's like, what happens? He loses all his stuff, and next thing you know, he's getting pulled to the fifth yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a hard question to answer because, you know, I think he's really an excellent major league pitcher. It's not like he's some scrub out there. I mean, this guy's good. But he's, you know, maybe it's the repertoire. He's mostly a two-pitch guy. The changeup is important to him, but he's not throwing it a ton. So when you're a two-pitch pitcher, Carlos Rodon can be a two-pitch pitcher throwing 99. When you're a two-pitch pitcher throwing 92, maybe that third time through, it's just, you know, too good of a look for the other team. That could be a big part of it. You know, he's not a big, strong, he's tall, but he's not, you know, he's not built like to soak up 200 innings.
Right. He's a bit frail.
You know, maybe that's part of it, too, is the stamina piece with him. He's a guy who's had some injury issues in his career. He's never really been built up to pitch, you know, huge innings really at any point. I think the Giants are totally happy. If he gives them five really good innings every time, I think they're just cool with that. Like, mm-hmm. And that there's no expectation that he's got to do more. If he can do more, great. There's no expectation that he has to do more. One of the things that I love about Alex Wood is come playoff time, you can use him in that sort of like two inning, once through the lineup role. And he's so good at that. He was great at that for the Dodgers because the first time you see him, he's just really, really hard to hit. He's funky, he's different, and he comes in throwing strikes. And so, you know, not that I'm looking ahead to the playoffs already with him because they need him for the regular season, but that's where he can really shine.
I'm looking at Camilo Duvall right now, and righties just can't hit him at all. And he's just outstanding on the road. He's got four saves on the road, hasn't given up a run yet. That was a big boy save yesterday. He's had a couple of big boy saves over the last week and a half, 2 weeks now. They haven't used him a lot because there haven't been a lot of save opportunities. I just like where he's at in his development right now. What are you seeing from Camilo?
I think the stuff the last three times he's pitched is the best I've ever seen from him. He is blowing right now, and that slider has tightened up. Remember, early in the year, we talked about it where against lefties, it was just kind of lazy, and so lefties were hitting him because that slider was too vulnerable.
Yeah.
And now he threw some hellacious sliders last night to a couple of those lefties. And, you know, righties are always going to – that sort of low three-quarters slingy at 100, you know, good luck.
Filthy.
If you're right-handed. I love what I'm seeing from him, and I love that there was no panic. You know, he didn't panic when things weren't quite going right in the beginning of the year. He's got the demeanor you want. He's just a stud. And, you know, last night we saw Tyler Rogers is one of the very best relievers in the game, but there are going to be times where – because when the ball's in play, you give up some hits. That's just how it is. If you don't strike a bunch of people out, you know, there are going to be a few times a year where you give it up, even if you throw good pitches. And that's the value of having that guy in the ninth inning who just can blow people away, because you kind of protect against the dribblers and the bleeders and the bloops when nobody can put the bat on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Flem, so you're out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Southern Hills Country Club for the PGA Championship.
Wide fairways.
How's this going to play out? Does Tiger have a shot here? We saw Uncle Phil Mickelson, win it last year as an OG. Is it going to be back-to-back years and OG takes home the PGA? Who do you like this weekend?
I think it's still asking a lot for Tiger to last four rounds stamina-wise, although he says he's a lot stronger now. But this is a second shot golf course. You're right. Fairways are wide. Greens are really tough. Small targets, shaved edges, really hard to hit greens and hit them in the right spot. And the best iron players, the best second shot players, I think have a massive advantage out here. Now, of course, I've only been here for an hour, but, but that's my expert opinion. And Tiger fits that. I mean, Tiger's iron play still is just extraordinary. And so I think, you know, Tiger, Colin Morikawa, Will Zalatoris, Steve, who I'm walking with, the guys who just pure the ball and can play target golf when they have to, even on a real hard course like this, I think they have a big advantage here. I mean, length is always, if you can hit it a long way down the fairway, you get a big advantage. But I think this is a second shot golf course. It is beautiful. I think it's going to be a great tournament. Scheffler's going to be in the mix. He just is. And what do you think the other guys in the field were saying when he had his open press conference, or opening press conference of the week, and said, "This is my favorite golf course in the world."
Uh-oh.
You know, he's been the hottest player in the last 5 years here in these last few months, and now he comes to a place that he says is his number one favorite place to play in the world.
Bryson DeChambeau, why fairways? He's undecided on playing.
No,
I wouldn't bet on him.
He had the Hammond injury like Pablo.
I know. I saw that.
You know, and I mean, Rory's been hitting it so good, and I want to pick Rory, but his wedge play, you know, he's gonna be the wedge, the from 7 iron on down are going to be in his hand a lot this week, and I just don't know that he's still tightened up enough in that part of his game to hit it close enough. I just don't know.
I'll be tapped in watching you, Flem. I'm excited. And then next week, you and me can, like, bro out and really, you know, dive deep into all the action. I like Spieth this week. I like a little, dare I say it, I like a little John Rahm again this week. I'm feeling
Shasky likes everybody, Flem. He's got like 25 guys he likes this weekend.
Well, you could pick John Rahm literally.
That's true.
Tournament.
Right. That's true.
I mean, his putting has not been real good here lately, but his tee to green is the best in the world.
Thank you.
When you include the tee ball plus the iron play, it's the best in the world. So hard to go wrong with him. I'm going to stick with the local guy, Colin Morikawa, and make him my official pick.
I like that.
I think Colin's got a great chance to play really, really well here.
I like Morikawa this weekend. I'm going to be watching you, Flem.
And thanks for calling us from the course.
We love that natural ambiance, that sound, that natural sound with the wind blowing there on the phone.
Tell Zalatoris I'm following him. Titleist guy. I've been all over him. Now I'm all over that account.
Hey, I'll practice a 230-yard shot. 5 iron. That's all I got to do. You know, you don't have to do much when you call golf.
Sounds like you're still a checks, Flem. Sounds like my type of gig.
Don't tell my guy.
No, we won't. We'll talk to you next week, man. Have fun out there in Oklahoma. All right, Dave Fleming out there, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Southern Hills Country Club for the PGA Championship. Giants beat the Rockies. Alex Wood doesn't go 5, but you know what? You get the win. You got to just find a way in Coors Field. Find a way.
If we're going to list, like, most compelling Giants to talk about, just in general, like, any fan, any media member, any national, like, whatever, who are the guys right now for you? Because we've talked about this, like, baseball's boring, blah, blah, blah. Forget that. Who are the compelling people that you care about on the Giants right now?
Duvall.
Okay, that's one.
Bart, I do like Bart, but he's not playing right now.
No, but it's compelling to talk about. I don't even think it's three deep. I think it's Kapler, I think it's Camillo, and I think it's Bart.
You
right
said
now.
Player, so
okay, I mean, my bad.
Well, Kapler, Farhan.
Okay,
Farhan's right there. So two people that'd be in the top four don't even play.
I know, which is a problem.
Farhan's in the front office, and of course, Kapler's in the dugout.
Yeah, well, that's where I feel like somebody had said it at this analogy that the Giants are treading water right now. And what they mean is, like, yeah, they're trying to get to the playoffs and they're trying to compete at the big league level, but they're treading water until all these other guys come up. Well, we've had a little tiny glimpse of two guys coming up. One that nobody thought much of a couple years ago in Camilo Duvall, and he's ascending. I think he's a top player for this organization moving forward. The other guy is Joey Bart. He feels like a depreciating player. If we were looking at him like an asset, I don't think that he, I don't think moving forward that he's somebody that I'm buying the stock of. I think they're going to end up selling him.
Yeah, Giants are, dude, I'm telling you, watching that game yesterday, it was a good win. They're 21-14. Damn, can they go out there and sign Aaron Judge? Can they go get me an Ohtani?
Lamont Wade Jr. doesn't do it for you?
Dude, it's not doing it for me, man. So, I'm like, honestly,
yeah,
for the first time in a long time, like, I got my fantasy baseball league, and my team's starting to catch fire.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm following, you know, obviously, you got a couple Angels.
I care.
Bobby Witt Jr. No, I do care, but it's the NBA playoffs, and I'm just like, gosh, when basketball's over, I'm going to be looking forward to training camp, not baseball. Cool. This is the first time in a long time I felt like this about baseball. And part of it, the reason is, there's just no star power down at 24 Willie Mays Plaza.
You were talking to me at the break about Posey and the retirement day. And my takeaway from that day had nothing to do with Posey. It had nothing to do with the Warriors. It was Larry Bear sitting in that seat, looking around at that stadium going, something's got to change.
He's a star.
Hey, something's got to change. He is star-driven. I think he is. He's great at marketing and all that. I think he knows he needs a star. The Camilo Duvall thing, before we hit the break here, he's 6-7 when it comes to save opportunities. He hasn't given up a run on the road all year. He's blowing righties away. Yes, he's hung the sliders to the lefties. There's no doubt about it. The maturation process is starting to play out in real time, and you're starting to see this guy find himself. I think he's the closer for the next 5 to 10 years. Now, hopefully, a lot can happen. Arm injuries, confidence. You know, you lose a game in the playoffs, you might not ever come back, right? But just what they've done with him thus far, they've developed the second pitch. It feels like he's using the fastball, even though a couple of at-bats last night, it felt like he was a little slider heavy. He's using the fastball a little more than he has in times past. And closing out a one-run lead at Coors, that feels like a playoff game because of how devastating that ballpark plays against pitchers. So I thought he's had a couple of big boy saves recently, and I like where he's at right now. Bart, on the other hand, is in a totally opposite direction.
Yeah, Bart doesn't look like he's going to be playing for a while. I could see them trading Bart. I could see them trading Bart.
For what?
You're not going
to
get
just
nothing.
To get rid of him?
Fresh start, maybe he needs a fresh start. Maybe he just needs to go. Maybe he needs a fresh start. Maybe this isn't the organization for him.
I'm not
maybe
dismissing
this philosophy isn't for him. So, and what are you going to get back? I don't know. Maybe a middle reliever. Maybe another pitcher, another arm. Maybe another infielder. I have no idea what you could get from Joey Bart right now.
When he steps into the plate, what do you think is going to happen?
Strikeout.
Right?
I have no confidence in him whatsoever.
I feel bad for him when I'm watching his at-bats. I
mean, no confidence. He's batting ninth and eighth. You know, he's not in a prime time spot in the lineup.
And don't the at-bats look bad? Like,
they
forget the raw data.
They look, like he's overmatched. Well, they look like he needs double A.
He's praying for a walk. That's what it looks like to
me. It's not good.
And then he's swinging through everything trying to pull
it. By the way,
I just don't like the way he looks.
This is what I'm going to do every time we talk Giants in baseball. I'm going to look at Aaron Judge's numbers. And I'm going to look at the 12 home runs and the 27 RBIs and the 296 average and say, Farhan, it's time to spend some money.
They got three guys in the Yankee lineup that are top home run hitters in the AL.
I mean, Stanton's back. Rizzo's bat 224, but he's got 10 jacks. Yeah. I mean, listen, go get me Aaron Judge. Forget the platooning in the outfield. Give me Aaron Judge for right field. Give it to me. His arm, his athleticism, and you can DH him. Well, get me Aaron Judge, please.
So this is kind of under the radar, but Luis Gonzalez, who's been balling the last couple of weeks for the Giants, he gets sent down, and I'm watching Austin Slater a lot. And I know Austin Slater's numbers are, you know, they're slightly better against lefties, and I like Austin Slater. He's a nice fourth or fifth outfielder,
yeah,
I guess.
He's not a major league starter,
like,
in my opinion.
Can I just see Luis Gonzalez for a couple? And I'm not losing my mind over it. It's just like, these are where I kind of pull my hair out the whole platoon.
Kind of just rather see Ramos.
That too. Can I see anybody who's an everyday player?
All right,
is everybody going to platoon for the remainder of infinity?
I don't know, but let's brighten this bad boy up and get ready for the Western Conference Finals. 888-957-9570. It's going down tomorrow at Thrive City. Chase Center, of course, tip off at 6 p.m. Remember, the conference finals begin at 6 p.m. No more 7 o'clock starts, which is helpful for your boy doing a morning show. 6 p.m. start. Coverage begins at 4:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock at NBC Sports Bay Area. 6 p.m. Tip off. Warriors and Mavericks. Game number one tomorrow night at Chase Center. 888-957-9570. What's the biggest concern of the Dallas Mavericks? Who do you concern yourself with most outside of Luka Doncic? Is it Spencer Dinwiddie? Is it Brunson? Is it their defense? Is it their three-point shooting? What concerns you in this series about the Dallas Mavericks? Or are you even concerned? Do you think the Warriors are just going to sweep these guys? Is it a five-game series? Love to hear from Dub Nation on this upcoming series. We'll continue to break it down, and that will be brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealer.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
One of my favorite songs right here. Back Dre and Tina.
Backwoods got me congested and resting in 2 days.
Game one, Western Conference Finals tomorrow. Before we get back into that and take your calls, 888-957-9570. What's your biggest concern when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks? What's your biggest concern? What worries you the most about the Dallas Mavericks? I do want to get your thoughts about the Pat Beverly situation yesterday. He made the run on ESPN. All the shows, Get Up, First Take, what's Max Kellerman's show, This Just In, whatever. And he basically eviscerated Chris Paul. Now, Matt Barnes is going to join Stein and Igu at 12:30. Uh-huh. Matt Barnes said, you know what? He's out of pocket. He's a role player. He's doing a little too much. What did you make of the entire situation with Patrick Beverly just going all in on Chris Paul? Call him a cone. Call him a traffic cone. Doesn't move. He's stiff. Can't guard.
I thought it was funny. I mean, for one day, it was funny.
Right.
When you have him on again this morning, which we turned on the television, and I'm looking, and I see Molly, and I see Stephen A. Smith in a what looks like a Miami Vice type of an outfit, and then I see Pat Bev again, and I'm like, maybe 2 days is too many. You know, because he comes on, and he's clearly got a beef with CP3. Mm-hmm. But it was funny. Can we admit that? Like, does everything have to be super serious?
No, it doesn't have to be super serious.
It's but when don't you do it every day.
Well, Dame Lillard kind of tweeted at him, was like, yo, what'd CP3 do to you? What'd he do to you? You think there was a code broken in that situation where Pat Bev's like, I talked to a teammate, I'm not going to say his name. Oh, you know what? I don't care. I talked to Paul George yesterday, and he said he's not scared of the Phoenix Suns. You think Paul George wanted his business out there like that?
But Pat Bev is seeing, he's probably looking around the landscape of the media, and he's saying to himself, all right, look, I see that Draymond Green has got a very successful TNT career going on right now. He's got his podcast, which is cooking right now. Mm-hmm. And then he's looking on the television, and he's like, wow, look at what Kendrick Perkins is doing. He's just saying anything. And Kendrick Perkins was mediocre. I think he's a mediocre broadcaster.
Right. Oh, Kendrick Perkins?
I think he's terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, he's terrible.
I think he's terrible.
And like, he's leaned all into just criticizing players over and over. This is an active player. criticizing players. An active player.
But that's
like Draymond Green.
No, but that's where
doesn't
I'm going
do
with
that.
This, is that I think Pat Bev is looking around at the landscape and he's saying, oh, I might have been a mediocre player. I could be one of these broadcaster guys. I'll get me one of these jobs. And it's more nuanced than that. I mean, to have sustainability, like we laugh about Charles Barkley. There's only one of them.
Yeah.
There's only one.
There's only one.
We laugh a lot about Shaquille O'Neal, and Shaq's on there because Charles wants him on there, right? The guy who really keeps that show afloat is Kenny Smith, and no one talks about it. But the reason that he's been there for so long is because you learn something when he goes to that telestrator.
Love Kenny.
And he can make fun of himself. So you can maybe get on the radar, but sustainability in media, that's a totally different thing. Look at right now in just across sports, Bonte. The Manning cast is something that we all agree there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everyone's cup of tea. I love it. I think it's great.
It sucks because Buck and Aikman are on Monday Night Football, and it's like they're going up against the Manning cast. Once I went to the Manning cast, I didn't go back. I mean, Buck and Aikman's great. There's going to be selective games.
That's what
you go back and forth.
Yeah. And the way that ESPN's putting it out there is, here's the buffet cart. We're going to show you the game. How do you want to eat
right.
it? Do you want the lasagna? Do you want the mashed potatoes? The steak? Like, here's all of the ways that you can consume it. You tell me what you want. And it works. Everyone's tried to replicate the Manning cast. I watched the Michael Kay and A-Rod thing. Michael Kay's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't get it. It's not funny. It's not Peyton Manning. It's not endearing. We've seen the players broadcast TNT. I think they were kind of the first to try
players only.
To do it. It was terrible. It's not good.
Depend on the combination. I thought there was some, little Greg Anthony, little Isaiah. It depends on the crust. I don't think the combinations are right, but go ahead.
No, and then you see like the National Football Championship. They've had the coaches one.
Right.
They had like a goofy one.
Right.
They had like four different channels, and it's choose what you want. Everyone's trying to capture the magic of the Manning cast. Here's the problem. You're not Peyton Manning. Not only is Peyton good on TV and funny and self-deprecating, he's got a very good sense of humor. He's a character. He's got a Rolodex filled with high-profile celebrities who want to be near him. And then he's got his little brother, who's the Dragon Slayer.
Eli's great.
And he's
Eli's
hilarious
great.
With the one-liners.
But what does that mean for Pat Bev? You don't think he's going
to
resonate like that? Or?
He just doesn't.
Because he's an active player. He's a role player. And
it's a good one-off.
Somebody said
it's a good one-off.
They sent Pat Bev stats to Damian Lillard, and it was like Patrick Beverly's average: 11 points, 5 assists, and 3 rebounds in 6 games in the 2022 playoffs. And Dave Lillard basically quote tweets and says, "Because nobody guard this man, he's overrated." Also, Bron TV acted like his word is law, speaking on private convos and preying on downfalls. This weird behavior. I ain't got a horse in a race. Like, so back to players, and like, when they get back on the court, a couple back screens, something's going to happen to Pat Bev. It's a little much, because like, Draymond does his podcast, and Draymond's really good at this media game, but he doesn't go out of his way to criticize players like that. You know what I mean?
No.
He doesn't he'll talk about their games, but he does it in a very professional way. Pat Bev is just out there, oh, he's terrible, he stinks, and yada, yada, yada. Like, it's not good tact.
Well, again, it's fine for a one-off to get some laughs. He couldn't do it every day. Wouldn't you agree?
But there's other NBA players who are looking at Pat Bev saying, this guy's a clown.
Probably.
This guy's an absolute clown.
Probably. But I do the same thing amongst media brethren. And people probably look at me and say the same thing.
Yeah,
so
it's clown behavior.
I mean, look, whatever. I think
maybe,
it was funny
probably,
for one day.
Not.
When we have more than that, that's where I'm like, all right, enough with Pat Bev.
Yeah, no.
That's
He had a couple funny lines,
that's
but it's like,
saying.
Pat Bev, know your role,
but
dude.
But that's the same way I look at Kendrick Perkins. Like, it was funny. It's not that.
Yes.
I'm not learning anything, and I don't find it funny because it's the same shtick every day.
Let's go to Dave at Fremont. Dave, what's happening? You're on the roast here on 95.7 The Game.
Morning, guys. Much love to you. No, I think there's a difference between journalism and the, blabbing and your opinionated kind of perspective. And it's sad because it does bleed into things like all-star lineup choosing.
Yes.
All these kinds of things, because it's the lowest hanging fruit almost, right? When I heard Kendrick Perkins say, well, the only reason I don't want the Warriors in here is because, I'm tired of them. Well, that's not an answer. What do you
exactly.
think, guys? Come on.
Hey, no, you're 100% right. And it's just, here's the thing. There's entertainment. And then there's education, right? And part of what makes the Manning cast, I'm just using that as an example. Part of what made it so unique is that not only are you being football educated by the brightest guy of his era,
right?
You're also getting entertained because it's The Rock, it's,
Eli. Think about our audience now. Think about the audience in a younger generation. They don't really care about cover three. They don't really care about curl routes. They want to laugh and entertain. And a lot of people do like the Pat Beverly, I'm going to trash a guy.
Well, it gets trashy.
And we're going to bring something from the locker room out to the public and the public view. The public is saying, we're not in the locker rooms. We like hearing this stuff. And this is funny. We're seeing a Hall of Fame guard. Like, look, I don't like Chris Paul the way he plays, but he's a Hall of Fame guard. He's one of the top 10 point guards of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go top five right now because when you blow 5-2-0 leads and you get blown out by 30-plus in a Game 7 at your house, I have a problem with that. You can fall down on my personal rankings. But to see a guy like Pat Bev, who's been a journeyman, just go out there taking shots.
Well, it was personal.
It was personal. That was... To me, I kind of laughed at a couple lines, but at the end of the day, I'm like, dude, you're Pat Bev.
Yeah, but
you're not all that good.
No, I agree with that. This is like, you know, the up-and-coming rapper who's been mediocre for a long, long time, taking a shot at someone, and I'm not saying Chris Paul's Jay-Z, but someone of that ilk who's got big national recognition is actually moving true units. So, I don't know, man. It's whatever you like. And I think, B, you're saying like, oh, people don't want to be educated.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying some people, the whole X's and O's of football or the X's and O's in basketball, it bores certain people. It does. A casual fan, it will bore.
But this is one thing I've learned about modern society. The internet is so vast, everyone can find their lane, and whatever I'm looking for in that given time, there's a YouTube channel for. So when I want to learn the X's and O's, I can go to somebody who's giving me that. Like Dan Orlovsky, some of the things he says are a little outlandish, but when I watch him in front of that telestrator and he's showing me a play, I do learn something. He is really good at breaking it down. Kenny Smith, who I referenced earlier.
Kenny Smith is great.
He's really good at breaking it down.
I love Inside the NBA.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but when I want to laugh and smile a little, I'll put on Stephen A. Smith just to hear some of the goofiness.
Right.
Like, it depends on what mood I'm in. Right. I don't think Pat Bev has sustainability.
I'm with this one. When you're not a superstar player and you're a role player and you're out here trashing the stars of the league, it's like, no, you're like J.J. Redick. I like J.J. Redick. Tim Legler, I think, is one of the best.
Tim Legler's outstanding.
He was a role player. Yes. He is amazing. The way he broke down James Harden last week on SportsCenter.
But that's why he's been on air for 15 years.
But they don't pump Tim Legler like that.
I agree.
He's in the background.
I agree.
Instead, we're going to catapult guys like Kendrick Perkins and Pat Bev. Kendrick Perkins averages 4 points a game.
But because it gets social media traction.
And
we're guilty of it because we hit the quote tweet and put the clown emoji, and then our entire follower base starts looking at it, and then it gets views. Views and social media, to me, those impressions doesn't equate to ratings. And I think that that's the hard part for all of these entertainment companies, these media companies. They see social media traction, and they automatically assume it increases ratings and people like that. I don't think that there's a correlation between the two.
And we're going to get this Matt Barnes sound because I want to play that sound. He's going to join Steiny and Goo a little bit later today. We're going to flip the sound with Matt Barnes on what he said about Patrick Beverly because he didn't agree there. And Matt Barnes is like, look, I'm a similar player. I'm a similar player to what Patrick Beverly was. I'm an irritant. I'm a hit a three. I'm a talk trash. But I'm not going to disrespect guys. I'm going to have respect for my peers. Pat Bev just went out there just torching everybody. Just absolutely tortured Chris Paul. So, I don't know, man. He did say he was the best defender in the world. He's delusional.
Well, do you really, like, a year from now, we fast forward a year from now, you really think Pat Bev's going to be on every single day on television?
To your point, he is. Because he gets traction.
I don't know.
Social media went crazy over Patrick Beverly yesterday.
I think it'll go away quickly. Because right now it's the hottest thing in the world, but that doesn't mean it has sustainability. Things that truly sustain are a little more measured, a little more thoughtful, a little more prepared. It's not as loose as that.
I hear you.
And you can only go on and bash Chris Paul so often. Like, you're just a broken record.
Well, who else is going to bash?
I don't know.
He doesn't bash. He bashes Chris Paul, but yet he says James Harden deserves a super max deal again. So right then and there, you lose your credibility. If you're Patrick,
a lot of people don't care about their credibility. I agree with you. You're right.
Yeah,
but people don't care.
That's a problem. Why would anybody follow that? If you don't care about your credibility, why should I sit up there and watch it?
Well, but that goes back to it'll be good for a little short period of time. That doesn't mean it's going to sustain over the long haul.
Well, Pat, let's hear from Matt Barnes in a second here. Matt Barnes, because Kendrick Perkins is now on NBA Today, and he's on all the time. We thought he wouldn't last. This guy's got a mega deal now with ESPN.
I know.
That's what we're listening to on ESPN.
It's it's a little surprising.
Here's what Matt Barnes had to say about the Patrick Beverley situation. Patrick Beverley ripping Chris Paul on all ESPN platforms.
Well, what I want to touch on real quick, RJ, is the disrespect I saw from Pat Beverley earlier today. You know, as reporters, you know, part of the media, we have a job to be critical, but I think there's a thin line between being critical and disrespecting. And I feel like what Pat Beverley did today to Chris Paul was completely disrespectful and out of the line. And Pat Beverley's talking like he's that guy. You're not that guy. Plain and simple. Chris Paul played terrible this year, and his numbers are still better than your career numbers have ever been. So I just think you have to understand, Chris is a 12-time All-Star. He played terrible. First time, all defense nine times, seven times first team all defense. He'll be a Hall of Famer. Pat Bev and I were similar type role players. They don't talk about us when we go. They're going to talk about CP3 when he's done. And I just think the disrespect we saw earlier today on the ESPN show need to be checked because he was way out of pocket.
Not only out of pocket, has some self-reflection here, Patrick Beverley. The team you're on, the Minnesota Timberwolves, in five of the six games against the Memphis Grizzlies, blew double-digit leads. You blew double-digit leads in five of the six games. You're on that team. You're, quote-unquote, the veteran leader. Your team blew multiple 20-point leads in game number three of that series. You blew another lead in game four, but you got bailed out by the refs. You blew another lead, a double-digit lead in game five.
Yeah.
And then you're still out here tweeting, talking about John Morant just dropped 47 on us. I'm just saying, Pat Bev, you're sitting at home doing television right now.
but I guess then my question to you is this. When Pat Bev is on First Take, are you viewing him through the journalism prism, or are you
viewing him? I'm viewing him, and I'm listening to him like, damn. Like, I would not want to be a teammate of his.
Well, that's obvious.
All the conversations that I had with him that I thought were sacred, he's ready to put them out on blast.
Well,
he does not care, and there's a code there. There's a code there. When you're an NBA player and you're disrespecting your peers and you're an active player, I guarantee you Paul George didn't want that conversation displayed on First Take.
No, I don't think he did, but I think this is where the lines get blurred of entertainment, journalism, you're an active player, you're trying to dip your toe into media. Like, I'm not sure I even understand, like, when someone, like, for example, Draymond's podcast,
right.
I listen to it all the time. I'm really not even sure what kind of a podcast it is, and it's a credit to him because of the elasticity of the podcast itself. Sometimes he's breaking down the team, sometimes he's not critiquing, but he's analyzing what's going on in another form. Sometimes he's taking mailbag questions where he's just being himself. So I think everybody's kind of unique at how they come to the broadcast table. I look at someone like Kendrick Perkins. He's not doing journalism. What he's doing is...
He's just talking.
Exactly. He's smack talking.
He's talking.
Yeah.
707 hits it right on the head here.
Give it to me.
Xfinity Mobile text line. Unfortunately, we are in a time where drama sells more than anything. Kardashians became billionaires because of it.
Well, the currency now isn't education. It isn't.
No.
it's viral fame. Like, that's the currency right now. It's the most important currency, and it's kind of sad.
No, it is sad. By the way, this is an NBA sweatshirt, YouTube, not a Phoenix Sun sweatshirt. Not what you're talking about. Shout out to Daniel Murphy hooking me up with the sweater. Let's get some calls here on the Pat Bev situation.
Like, real quick, before you go, one last thing. Like, for example, when we do an interview with a player, you know, I don't expect them to say a whole lot in terms of strategy. But when I do something with Brian Baldinger, I expect to learn something from that particular transaction. Yeah, we're going to have some fun and stuff, but we bring him on because he knows his stuff inside and out. So I feel like he's doing the journalism thing and we're getting the entertainment.
It's just breaking down a game. And it's in broadcast journalism form.
Calling it like it is.
But he's just breaking down a game and having fun.
Wouldn't you agree?
That, absolutely. Kendrick Perkins, he's just talking. He's talking about snap, crackle, popping. You don't know how to pour milk into a cereal. He's giving us that crap.
It's too much, man.
I'm
surprised he's still on TV.
Dude, let's go to Marco in Redwood City. Marco, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, guys. First time calling here for you guys. Listen, when I heard about the Pat Beverley CP3, the first thing I thought in my mind was many years ago where Kmart, I believe it was on a show. I think it was, I forgot what show it was, but he kind of said the same kind of thing where, you know, I don't like Chris Paul. I respect him as a player. I do think he's a little dirty, but I do remember Kmart mentioning the same thing about there's, you know, players in the locker room don't seem to respect him, and it's maybe due to his president role. They say he's kind of like a politician. You know, he definitely painted him in a light where he is kind of looked like viewed differently from player to player. So, I mean, there could be some truth to what he was saying, what Pat was saying, but that's just the first thing I thought in my mind is that it just seemed like there's a history of some sort
right.
of player.
It's personal with him.
It's very personal. So, for example, when Greg Jennings has come out and kind of ripped Aaron Rodgers,
right.
it didn't feel like that.
It didn't feel like that, but I do look at Greg Jennings differently. I'm Greg Jennings, you are irrelevant without Aaron Rodgers.
Agreed.
And you're out here disrespecting him and giving out the tea leaves, and all of a sudden you go down to Miami, nobody hears from you ever again. And you got a big old issue. I have a problem with guys come out years later and start, oh, well, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the problem here. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. yeah. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
See some similarities between Chris Paul. Look, Aaron Rodgers has the one ring, so he's minted in a sense. But I do see similarities in that. His teammates do kind of like, he's not the guy.
Yeah, let's hear from Jay.
You know, like they let this out that like Aaron Rodgers right. isn't the nicest dude to play with.
No, he's not. But you think Brady was?
No.
You think Joe Montana was? You think Steve Young was?
I think he's gotten better over the years.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think he's very cognizant of how people view him.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
No, absolutely.
Whereas Aaron doesn't really care how people view him.
Let's go to Jay in Oakland. Jay, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, fellas. Nice to be on the roast. I'm just heading out for a surf and listening to you guys. Good show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was listening to Pat Bev yesterday, and I've been listening to Kendrick Perkins flap his mouth for a while, too. It's just, shock jock stuff. And yes. I think they hired Pat Bev to do on ESPN exactly what he does for the Timberwolves, be a pest. Exactly what he's
that's
done in the NBA, just be a pest, you know?
That's a great call.
And he succeeded.
Yeah.
He blew up social media yesterday. He did pick the Warriors to win the championship. His line about Chris Paul, hey, I'm not going to bed until 10 o'clock. I'll sweat out the wine and pregame shoot around. I'll have a steak. But if it's Steph Curry, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock and I won't want
funny.
No calls. I'm locked in. He's funny. He's got some lines.
But here's the thing, too. Like, I hear people, you have to be critical. I don't even want my broadcast to be critical. I want you to just tell it like it
be
is.
Be fair.
That's
Troy,
all I
that's
want.
Why Troy Aikman,
he's
I'm grown
awesome,
to love him.
But he's gotten better.
He's gotten better at that.
I don't think he
that.
Was this good 10
no,
years
wasn't.
Ago.
He wasn't.
He's gotten better.
The last 5 years, he's been on a heater.
So like, I look at someone like Drew Brees. Everyone's like, he's going to be great in media. And I was like, really?
Yeah, I'm not a Drew Brees guy.
Drew Brees is terrible
he's
on TV. Boring.
Terrible.
I don't even know if Brady's going to be good. I really don't know.
And doesn't some of the off-the-field stuff that Drew Brees has gotten involved in terms of his mouth, the politics
yes.
and everything, the way he spoke about certain
yes.
situations? Kind of like how we talked
Drew
about
Brees
Colin Kaepernick.
Feels inauthentic.
Yeah,
that's
he doesn't
the way
feel
I view
real.
Him. Whereas Peyton feels very down to earth.
Yeah, Peyton is. I'm with Peyton there. I'm with Peyton there. We'll see how long
don't you,
this
you
Patrick
see
Beverly stuff lasts.
Don't when you see Peyton, don't you smile?
I don't know if I smile. I just lock in.
He just gives. He makes
lock
me
in.
Feel good.
I like it.
I lean forward when I
see
lock him.
In. We'll see how long that lasts. Though.
Like,
we'll
okay,
see how long
so
that
like
lasts.
Golf's had this problem, and I know everyone of golf. Johnny Miller was very critical, right? He was a great player back in the day. He was very critical of players when they were on the course. And now I watch the broadcast, and Nick Faldo, who's a great player, he doesn't say anything, and the broadcast sucks. It really sucks. Now, how many people are tuning in for the broadcast?
I think broadcast is very important.
I do, too.
I think it's very important. I love a good broadcast. That's why I love Mike Breen. That's why I love Kevin Harlan at times, even though he's getting up there. Iron Eagle. And
ESPN just paid, what's his face, Joe Buck.
Right.
You think they're doing that for giggles? They're doing that because they want to get some like high-quality broadcasts out there.
Right, and I think broadcast is lacking.
I'm with you.
I think it's we got to get some better broadcasters out there. The bench is not deep, especially on ESPN.
That's a good point.
Let's go to Anthony in Danville. Anthony, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Good morning, fellas. So you brought up the word, the code, right? And some of us still live by a certain code. Like, it's kind of not existent in the world right now.
Sadly.
To what Joe was saying. But honestly, some of us not for that clown stuff.
Yeah.
I thought a couple weeks ago and said, suckers do sucker stuff. And that's what Beverly did, right? Like, and that's what Kendrick do. So, like, I get it. It's entertainment purpose. But some of that don't move our needle. And so, like, I'm one of the type of people, like, I don't subscribe to that. Like, if it's in, like, you know, when Swaggy P got snitched on by, what's his name, over in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, D'Angelo Russell.
I forgot about
and,
that.
Like, yeah, like, listen, man, like, you know, some of us are from certain places, but we don't play like that at all, regardless. And I don't want to get too crazy on the radio, but, like, I didn't respect what Pat Bev said because it's still – everything is still out of respect. And so, like, CP didn't have a good game, but, like, you still got to respect your fellow man because if we don't have that, what do we have? We have a bunch of kindred persons.
Yes.
Definitely running around just saying anything. So that's all I got, fellas.
And that's a great call. There is a code, Anthony. That's a great point. Now, that's kind of where I'm coming from. I was just like,
because
I work with Bully. I work with Bully and D, right?
Yeah.
And we have a lot of conversations about this stuff. And the antics on the Twitter and stuff, players are like, no, come on, bro. It's a little much.
Wait, you're talking about the former players?
I'm talking about former players and some active players as well.
Because is there a distinction between Pat Bev? Like, had Pat Bev not played for the last year and he did the exact same thing, would it be viewed at differently?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
When you're an active player and you're out here trashing Chris Paul the way he was. And look, again, I'm no Chris Paul fan. A lot of people loved it.
I think you're right. You know what I'm saying?
If you're an active player,
I think you're right.
And you're in the locker room, now it's like, if I'm in that locker room with you, and I know Pat Bev is here, and he's doing First Take, mm-hmm. and he's doing Get Up, I'm not going to be talking as much as I used to around Patrick Beverly.
Yeah.
Knowing that, hey, man, we may have a private conversation. This guy may go on TV the next day and bust me out. Like, again, I go back to the Paul George thing. I'm not going to say a teammate, but we were texting a lot. I'm going to say it now. It was Paul George. Now Paul George's business is out there, and he's on the Clippers. You know? Like, what are we doing here? So, I don't know, man.
Would you grant me this? For one day, it's funny.
It was fine for one day.
Now that I see him again the second day, it does feel like, okay, I've had enough.
It was enough.
I've been that way with Kendrick for quite some time. Like, okay. Had enough. I'm kind of done with it.
Right. It's like, funny for a while, and then after a while, it's like, all right, it's the same takes.
Well, I just feel like
do you really watch the game?
We're dumbing it down. And that, to me, is insulting to the average sports fan.
No doubt.
Because I do think the average sports fan, look, I'm not a huge Chris Collinsworth fan, but I'll give him this. If you're an average sports fan, you watch Chris Collinsworth's broadcast, and you can at least learn some stuff. He's going to bring data to the table. You know, you can't just be all gimmicks.
No.
You got to give me something.
Give me something. I like Collinsworth. I'm actually a Collinsworth fan. I think he's going to do very well with Tirico. I think they mesh maybe a little.
You know Tirico's my number one.
I think he may mesh a bit better with Tirico than he did with Al Michaels.
What do you think about that Amazon Prime with Al Michaels?
I don't know. Kirk Herbstreit?
I'm reluctant on that one. Amazon, you want to talk about printing money.
All right, it's time for the flex moment of the show, brought to you by Xfinity. So here's a series. Yeah. Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Thursday, Saturday, okay.
And then Monday for game six. So every other day, the rest of the way.
If you go game seven on that Monday, you're going to have a gigantic audience on Memorial Day.
Yeah, that'll be big time.
I mean, that'll be a humongous, humongous audience.
That means we'll be working on Memorial Day.
Well, I thought the NHL whiffed big time yesterday, not having a game on last
night. That
was
silly.
They've synced up all the Eastern Conference games. Like, the Florida Panthers are in the playoffs right now.
Right. Playing Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and both Miami and the Heat and both Florida teams in hockey are playing each other. And every game is on the exact same night.
Yeah, that's silly.
I mean, what are we doing, NHL?
Gary Bettman.
Did you hear Joe Biden call him Batman?
Oh, my gosh.
That was pretty funny. Gary Batman.
Yeah, I got to jump right there. He's up there. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex. The 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium. Free with Xfinity Internet.
Yeah, I'm out on Gary Bettman. Out on him.
Can we,
408 Xfinity Mobile text line. What are your best duo sports announcers? I like Buck and Aikman.
Well, to me,
Nance and Romo's good.
There's national and there's obviously local. All time, my favorite is Kroon Kipe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. And some are all Madden. Those are my guys, right?
Yep.
You know, so I'm going to roll with that. And I think at one time it was Tirico, Tolbert. There was a third guy. I forget who the third guy was.
NBA?
On ABC at one point.
Tolbert,
Tirico, and someone else.
It wasn't Steve Snapper Jones. That was a little before. That was Tom Hammond, Walton.
They were really
good. Steve Snapper Jones. They were really good on NBA and NBC. Forgot it was a third there with Tolbert and Tirico.
Yeah.
Was it Hubie? Was it Hubie?
I don't know. Hubie.
Hello.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Dr. Jack Ramsey on radio.
Dr. Jack Ramsey, legend.
Was it Matty Gukas? Gukas and Kostas?
Gukas and Kostas.
It wasn't
with Tirico,
though. I do like the bird and the beard on CBS.
No longer together.
I know.
Dan Fouts no longer. Yeah. Shout out Marin Catholic. He went there as a freshman. Yeah. Then to SI, as we all know.
Yeah.
Damn, where's Fouts going to go? Is he just done?
I think he's doing some radio, some Westwood One.
Gotcha.
He does do the radio.
Wow. Exactly.
I believe he was doing it with him and Baldy were like rotating on this chart Baldy was telling me about.
Hit me with this real quick while we're in this sphere, this whole idea of Amazon and Al Michaels to Amazon. And are you really that locked in on these alternate broadcasts? Because for me, it's still, maybe I'm just an old guy, but it's like what game's on TV and then you got the Red Zone. Are we really to appify our NFL product?
Well, it's the Amazon thing's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah. But who doesn't have Amazon? Like, let's look in this room right now.
Well,
do you all have Amazon?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You
don't
have
Amazon.
No, I mean, I use Amazon, but I don't pay for the
Prime.
You
don't have Prime. You don't have Prime.
I can wait. I mean, delayed gratification is something in my world that I can appreciate. I don't need to have it within 4 hours or else.
Well,
I can,
that's because your kids are adults now.
Amazon
me.
Prime.
No, if I had a nickel for every time my daughter came to me and it's like, I need something by tomorrow morning at 8.
A glue stick.
I mean, I'm like, holy crap.
I think I've broken down.
You're at a point in your life where you're able to look ahead.
Well, I think I've broken down like 1,500 Amazon boxes over the last 2 years.
My wife is...
Talk to me in 4 months.
There's Amazon boxes in the hallway as I speak.
Going back,
when the diapers are out, you're going to be like, we need overnight.
Seriously.
We're going to need Prime.
10 years ago, even five years ago, if you would have said, everybody in this room is going to use Amazon religiously, I'm like, I don't know about that. And yet we still do. The viewing habits, everyone's got Disney and Apple Plus and Hulu and all these things. Like, is there a subscription fatigue? Absolutely. But even Xfinity now is with the game, and Xfinity on, even if you just have normal basic cable, boom, you can click into Hulu, Apple Plus, Disney, every one of those via that. So I think it's fine. I mean, do I care about Al Michaels broadcasting? Probably not.
This is all generational, though. I guarantee you there's some people cruising around in their 60s and 70s listening to you say all of that, and it's like, absolutely, the brain hurts even listening to you say that. They don't even have, like... The same way someone in their 20s is like, what'd you say? Cable?
Facebook, like my dad's in his 60s. He's Facebooked out, all his crew. If you can use Facebook, you can navigate how to find
it's
the television.
It's not that you can't do it. Right. It's just that at a certain point, the way to optimize it starts to make people's brains hurt. Like, is it better to have YouTube TV? Just do it all. Can we cut the cord? Mm. And then, can we figure out how to cut the cord? Like, if I'm going to go YouTube TV, what happens to those local ball games or whatever that I may want? Like, it's doable, but it takes research.
And it's subscription fatigue.
Right, it takes research. And a lot of people, I don't want to do research. I want to sit down and hit a button and watch my game.
And also the idea of, like, right now, how many accounts do you have where your credit card is auto-renewing?
I have it on my phone.
It's crazy. How many different platforms is the thing? And do you really look at how much that is? Because, you know, for more of the old school, it's like, this is my bill and I get everything. And now it's like 12 different little, like, mosquito bites out of your account. Yeah, it's like, I don't even know.
Death by paper cuts.
Right. Yeah.
There's like five different Apple accounts. I'm like, wait, $4.99 for the what?
Of your cable bill, I mean, how many channels are you paying that you never, ever, ever click on?
Basically watch 8 channels.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're spending like $100.
I'll take the under.
I know.
Yeah, I'll take the under on 8.
Wow. I mean, you're doing NBC Sports Bay Area.
NBC Sports Bay Area. Hold on. Hold on. NBC Sports Bay Area.
Featuring NFL Network.
Featuring?
ESPN.
Thank you.
ESPN, ESPN2.
Yeah. You're better off sticking with the home bread right there with the home team.
So, for people with kids, they have all got the Disney, Hulu, ESPN package thing. It's like, whatever, $15 a month. Everybody I know's got that one. I've ordered 8 gazillion fights, whether on my phone or television on ESPN+.
That goes 7 directions, too, depending on their age and their gender and whatever. Like, I'm sort of graduated outside of Disney+. Yeah, I got an 8-year-old, but he's not really into that.
Yeah.
He's on YouTube watching Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
And my daughter's been...
Trick shot artist.
Yeah, she's been after me for about 3 months to get Hulu because the Kardashians went over there.
There's your package.
So she wants to go into her room and watch the Kardashians. The other one wants to watch HBO Max. Like,
Spoiler alert, Chloe, yet to find out that Tristan has been dribbling outside the court. That's coming.
Oh, boy.
You watch the Kardashians?
On the next Outside the Lines.
But it's on where my eyes are open. I'll say
it's
that.
I'd go to the other room. I don't even...
with 400 square feet right now. There is no other room.
Mom makes
two and
me
and
so
half of
uncomfortable.
Us.
Oh,
the
man.
Mom is clearly like,
we don't need to
she's
go down
worst.
This rabbit.
No,
you're listening
know.
To 95.7 AM, KGZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, at Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy Simplified.
She's printing money.
They're all billionaires.
Best legal ID in the history of this station.
I mean, we're going out of Kardashians.
In final 5 seconds, she married Kanye, they're getting divorced, and she's going to have to pay him. Well, she's so rich.
Damn.
End of story.
Getting back to the sports thing, because I'm like tapped in on this, I've listened to a lot of podcasts. The thing that, like, so there's the normal broadcasting partners, your CBS's, your NBC's, your ABC's, aka Disney. What they want is they want the Apple Pluses and the Amazons, who are trying to build up their subscription base, to bid on these things so that they can raise the value. So instead of having the 3 channels bidding, you now have 5 or 6 channels bidding. And so from the NFL standpoint, they're the only sport that's on every channel.
And I mean, it's on every channel. It's the only sport that's must-watch for virtually all. It used to be 256. Absolutely. Now everyone's playing an additional, so I think it's 272 games.
Yes.
And, you know, we probably, all of us in this room, watch about portions at least of 250.
Of almost all of them.
Right, yes. Red zone in it.
All but a couple. Yeah. Like occasionally that London game, it's like, damn, that thing started early.
Yeah. I didn't set my roster.
Right. Only in your bed. No, you're waking up to get that bed in. Right. You go second to sleep half. And wake up at halftime.
Wow, Jacksonville's down in London.
Yes.
And they always win that game. They usually make it close to that game,
they
too.
Do.
So what the, but like what the Athletic did, the New York Times acquired them because they wanted that subscription base, right?
I'm out.
I know. I'm just saying, this is how it works. And so Apple tried to do that with Major League Baseball. Hey, if we bring in Major League Baseball, we can boost up our subscription base. And I think the NFL with Amazon,
baseball,
like,
it doesn't work that way because you don't watch baseball like you watch football.
With you.
So
I know.
Honestly,
but it's more content to drive that station.
I get it, Joe. And I understand the whole thing. I'm just saying, from a consumer standpoint, when you have to work to find it, and football's different. But the other thing is, where baseball, you got 162 of them. If you're not going to be in my usual spot, am I really going to work that hard to watch the Giants take on?
Some people
to
do.
Take on the Pirates. Yeah. I know they do.
Believe me, when that Peacock thing happens once a year.
What about the YouTube game?
You guys all have the
YouTube
cock, right?
Game. People lose their minds over the YouTube game.
Yeah,
it's not the P
again because it can't.
Equally dirty.
But that's why the Olympics.
You got two choices.
Dibs is right on this one. It was the lowest rated Olympics ever because the majority of it was on the Peacock network.
It's if you want to abbreviate it, it's either the P or it's the cock, and you can cut that and keep it for as long as you need to. Spadoni,
on that note, we got to do some social media stuff a little early.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we got to get some stuff done. Here.
Oh, that's a great guest list today.
Yeah, I know.
Who
you guys? I saw one guest.
Jason Terry's coming on in the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
we got BY.
Oh,
Bryant Young.
Bryant Young.
What's going on with him?
Just, you know, because he's just BY.
Just BY.
Yeah.
I'm getting set for that Dwight Clark event out in Walnut Creek June 1st.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
And it's Tuesday Ray Area. We were able to addition to booking Jason Terry and BY, we were able to track down Ray Ratto.
9:30, right?
9:30.
Ray Area.
Ray Area.
Jazz up, Ray Ray.
We're actually going to play the voicemail he left for Kyle earlier in the week, a 3-minute long voicemail. We'll have that for you exclusively on Willard and Dibs.
Nobody knows anything.
3-minute voicemail.
It Ray's may or may not have been a butt dial.
Oh, that's even better.
I will be listening to that. That's coming up here. Willard and Dibs.
You blew the tease.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!